Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Key primary results are in from California and New Jersey. We're live with the latest.
Boris Johnson plans legislation to override parts of the Brexit deal.
Credit Suisse shares plunge after warning of a second quarter loss.
And new developments this morning involving Elon Musk and Twitter.
Controversy over a planned New York City event with Florida Governor DeSantis. Plus, a New Jersey mayor says the American dream all owes his city millions. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanch, Aaron Swartz. Tampa Bay beat the Rangers to tie up the series at 2. The Yankees won at Minnesota. The Mets were shut out in San Diego.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Hey, good Wednesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
I'm Amy Morris. Daybreak is brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com.
And U.S. futures are moving lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 15 points. Dow futures down 133. NASDAQ futures lower by 32 points. 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield 3.0%. Yield on the 2-year 2.74. NYMEX crude up 0.7% or 86 cents to $120.27 a barrel. Amy.
Well, Nathan, more on the markets in just a moment. We begin with the primaries across 7 states. Last night, starting in California, San Francisco residents took to the polls to oust progressive district attorney Chesa Boudin.
Voters were not asked to choose between criminal justice reform and something else. They were given an opportunity to voice their frustration and their outrage, and they took that opportunity.
Chesa Boudin's recall election turned into a heated campaign that divided Democrats. Boudin sought criminal justice reform. Critics painted him as far too lenient on crime. He addressed his supporters after his defeat.
I want to be very clear about what happened tonight. The right-wing billionaires outspent us 3-1. They exploited an environment in which people are appropriately upset.
San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin will be replaced by an interim DA chosen by San Francisco Mayor London Breed.
Well, staying in California, Amy, Governor Gavin Newsom cruised to an easy victory. He'll advance to the November election. In Los Angeles, where public safety is also a key issue in that city's mayoral race, billionaire real estate developer Rick Caruso and California Representative Karen Bass are headed for a runoff. In other states, congressional races served as yet another measure of former President Donald Trump's influence over the GOP. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with more on the primary races in New Jersey. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. A dozen U.S. House seats are being contested in New Jersey. There were several GOP candidates who followed Donald Trump's brand. However, in New Jersey, only 2 out of the 12-member delegation are Republicans. In the 2nd District, incumbent Jeff Van Drew won the GOP primary with 86%. Van Drew will face Democrat Tim Alexander, who got 62%. In the 4th District, incumbent Republican Chris Smith won with 58% of the vote. Smith will face Democrat Matthew Jenkins, who ran unopposed. In the 7th District, Republican Thomas Kane Jr. received 46%. He'll face incumbent Democrat Tom Malinowski, who got 94% of the vote. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5 other states held primaries: South Dakota, Mississippi, New Mexico, Iowa, and Montana. Incumbents mostly staved off challenges from other candidates.
All right, let's turn to politics overseas now, Amy. After winning a confidence vote this week, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson plans to press ahead with legislation that is likely to anger some of his political allies. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Amy. Back to work for Boris Johnson. It's less than 2 days since the UK Prime Minister narrowly survived a confidence vote among his Conservative Party colleagues. Now, Bloomberg understands that Johnson is pressing ahead with divisive plans on the Northern Ireland Protocol. The legislation is likely to give ministers the power to unilaterally rewrite post-Brexit trading rules. The European Union has warned the move could lead to a suspension of the UK's trade deal. In London, London. I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Ewan. Turning to the markets, U.S. futures are down this morning after yesterday's broad-based rally. Sentiment remains fragile amid concerns interest rates will need to go higher to rein in inflation. However, PIMCO portfolio manager Aaron Brown says easing supply pressures could temper aggressiveness from central banks.
As we start to see more chip supply, as we start to see, you know, less of this demand for goods, we do think that you will start to see inflation peak and then ultimately start to roll over.
Aaron Brown of PIMCO says waning supply chain disruptions leave her cautiously optimistic about markets.
In Asia, Amy, China's tech stocks saw a big jump. The government's latest batch of new game approvals bolstered bets the industry's business outlook is on the mend. Bloomberg's Juliette Sally joins us with more on that from Singapore.
The Hang Seng Tech Index rose to a two-month high as sentiment was bolstered that authorities are moving towards policy normalization. But the contrarian who called China's tech rout says the sector is still a sell. DZ Bank's Manuel Mill writing he feels reports regulators are preparing to wrap up a probe into Didi are premature. Elsewhere, continued weakness in the yen saw Japanese equities rise and Australian stocks recouped some of Tuesday's losses. Shorter-dated Indian bonds rallied with the four-year yield dropping 12 basis points as India's central bank joined the jumbo rate hike club, raising its benchmark interest rate by 50 basis points and upping its inflation forecast for the fiscal year to 6.7%. In Singapore, Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliette. In Europe, Credit Suisse shares are down more than 7%. The Swiss lenders expects a loss at the group-wide level and investment bank in the second quarter. Credit Suisse says market conditions have remained challenging.
Now, there's new uncertainty this morning surrounding the Elon Musk Twitter deal, Amy. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more on that. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Elon Musk's attempts to get new funding to take Twitter private are now on hold, and it's because of uncertainty surrounding the deal. That's according to Reuters, who reports the conversations have halted with private equity firms, including Apollo Global Management, until there's clarity about the future of the acquisition. Now, Musk has been trying to reduce his $33.5 billion cash contribution to the $44 billion deal by preferred equity financing. Meantime, he's also threatened to back away from the deal if Twitter cannot prove less than 5% of its users are bots. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Futures moving lower this morning. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Amy. New York lawmakers called on the Chelsea Piers Entertainment Center to cancel an upcoming event that includes Florida Governor Ron DeSantis saying his appearance would be an insult to the city's LGBTQ community. According to an online event scheduled, DeSantis, a Republican and potential 2024 presidential candidate, will discuss the Florida model and why it's good for religious Americans on June 12th at the Jewish Leadership Conference. Local lawmakers representing or running for office in the area have said the booking is offensive to LGBTQ New Yorkers, especially considering Chelsea's status as an important neighborhood for LGBTQ history. Critics specifically cited the Florida law DeSantis signed that restricts classroom instruction about sexual orientation and gender identity for children in kindergarten through third grade. Is the Senate getting closer to a compromise on gun safety? Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Senator Chris Murphy is telling President Joe Biden,
every day we get closer to an agreement, not further away.
And House Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is being very careful about commenting.
I don't want to speculate about how many of my members might support it.
So Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it will need those votes.
We don't just need thoughts and prayers. We need votes. We need action. We need at least 10 Republicans who are willing to say yes.
But the hope is closer. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It comes as Matthew McConaughey made a plea to Washington, D.C. to make changes to gun laws now. The Uvalde, Texas native visited his hometown the day after the massacre at an elementary school that left 19 children and two of their teachers dead. The actor spoke to the White House press briefing, calling out any legislators who are hedging on change.
We start right now by voting to pass policies that can keep us from having as many Columbine, Sandy Hooks, Parklands, Las Vegas's, Buffaloes, and Uvalde's from here on.
McConaughey called on lawmakers to rise above politics. American Dream, the $5 billion super mall in New Jersey, isn't only in the hock to bondholders. The mayor of East Rutherford says the shopping and entertainment complex owes the borough between $5.5 and $6 million. Mayor Jeffrey Lafleur says the mall, which is in the Meadowlands Sports Complex, has failed to make payments in lieu of property taxes. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. The Rangers have gotten to this point. Two wins from playing for the Stanley Cup, winning only twice on the road. They won the two road games they had to win or their season would have been over. Game 6 in Pittsburgh, Game 7 at Carolina, but they've lost the other seven on the road. Tampa Bay took last night's Game 4 4-1, and the East Finals are now tied at 2. The only Ranger goal came late from Artemi Panarin. It was on the power play. The Rangers were not able to score in the two games at Tampa at even strength. They come home, but they've won 8 in a row. Game 5 tomorrow night at MSG. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight in Boston. Celtics and Warriors tied at 1. 40th win of the year for the Yankees with an occurrence early on that has now happened 22 times.
Pitch is swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. Buxton back. He's on the track. He's on the wall. She's gone. Over the center field wall. A Judgian blast. But he is something. Aaron Judge. Hey, all right.
That's happened a lot. All of John Sterling on WFAN. 22 homers for Judge. That was first inning with a man on. Giancarlo Stanton hit his 12th, also in the first. 7th inning, 3-run shot for Anthony Rizzo, his 14th. Yanks beat the Twins 10-4. They are 40-15. They've won 7 in a row. Mets lost in San Diego 7-0. Managed only 2 hits off the Padres' Yu Darvish. Red Sox won in 10 innings. They sent the Angels to a club record 13th loss in a row. The Angels fired their manager, 68-year-old Joe Maddon, who's been managing the majors for the last 17 years. He won a pennant with Tampa Bay. Of course, won a World Series with the Cubs. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right. Thank you, John. S&P futures down 20. Dow futures down 174. NASDAQ futures down 46.5. We have much more still to come on this Wednesday morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather today. Maybe an early shower. Otherwise, partly to mostly sunny and breezy. We'll see 85 degrees. 75 degrees tomorrow. It'll be 80 and sunny to start your weekend.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. European stocks are moving lower along with U.S. equity futures on persisting worries about high inflation and slowing growth. Adding to those worries, new word from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in its latest forecast warning the world economy will face a hefty price for the war in Ukraine, encompassing weaker growth, stronger inflation, and potentially long-lasting damage to supply chains. OECD slashed its outlook this year to 3% from the 4.5% it predicted in December and doubled its inflation projection to nearly 9% for its 38 member countries. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures down 151. NASDAQ futures lower by 32 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.3%. The CAC in Paris is lower by 0.4%. The FTSE 100 in London lower by 0.25%. 10-year Treasuries down 8/32. The yield at 3%. The yield on the 2-year 2.74. NYMEX crude is up 0.75% or 90 cents at $120.31 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.40 at $1,849.70 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0682 against the dollar. British pound 1.1529. And the yen is at 133.69. 7 a.m. Wall Street time, we get MBA mortgage applications. And at 10, we get a report on wholesale inventories. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Democratic U.S. Representative Karen Bass and billionaire developer Rick Caruso breeze past a large field of rivals looking to be the next mayor of Los Angeles and advance to a runoff election in November. Bass is poised to become the first woman to hold the job in the nation's second most populous city. The winner in November will replace outgoing Mayor Eric Garcetti. In the NHL East Final, the Rangers lost to the Lightning 4-1. The series now tied at 2 games apiece. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Red Sox and the Orioles were winners. The Nationals lost along with the A's and Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. It is 5:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios on Bloomberg Daybreak. And Michael just mentioned it. Yesterday was a really busy primary day in the U.S. 7 states held elections with a focus mainly on setting up those House races for November. Joining us now with a rundown of some of the biggest contests from yesterday, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, great to be on, Amy. And yes, there were a lot of House races yesterday. Although, interestingly, I think the two most telling races for what we're going to see for the rest of this primary season, as well as November, actually happened more at the local level. The Los Angeles mayoral race and then a recall race for the San Francisco attorney general. And you saw basically voters really gravitate toward the idea that they need candidates in place who are going to take crime seriously, who are going to crack down on crime, that they've seen these rising crime rates, they've seen rising homelessness, and they're very, really concerned. And they did vote to oust Chelsea Boudin, the progressive district attorney who was elected in San Francisco. You know, he was really seen as someone who wanted to be a little more lenient on criminals, kind of give them a second chance. And voters basically have said this approach is not working. And I think this is something that you saw in the New York mayoral race. You've seen President Biden address. He talked about his support for the police, wanting to back the local police, wanting to make sure that there is a reduction in crime. It'll be interesting to see if in Washington, when it comes to the legislation that's passed, the messaging that you hear. You've heard a little bit from Democrats on this issue, but it's certainly something that Republicans are hammering them on and will do so for the next couple months. So it will be interesting to see if there's actually any laws or bills that come about as a result of this.
So crime being a primary issue that got San Francisco residents to recall their DA, let's talk about what happened in L.A. then. That race was neck and neck. The polls, in the polls, as the voters were casting their ballots between Karen Bass, who's a representative, and Rick Caruso, who's a billionaire. What does that also indicate as far as November is concerned?
Well, Rick Caruso, as you mentioned, a billionaire, developer of high-end malls, he really has sort of pitched himself as the outsider in this race, the law and order candidate, probably the more moderate choice. He was formerly a Republican before he switched to the Democratic Party. Well, Karen Bass, you know, she's someone who has been a Democrat, a community organizer. She's well-known in the community. She's represented that area for quite some time now in Congress. And the fact that she is facing this very serious primary challenger does still kind of speak to the fact that you have crime and you have homelessness as major issues here. And it'll be interesting to see. Caruso technically has so far won more votes than Karen Bass has in this primary runoff, but not all of them have been counted. So we have to wait for some final totals on that to really get a sense of the strength of the two candidates. But we do know that they are the two that will advance to the general election in November.
Let's shift now to New Jersey. Got about a minute and a half here. Where would the focus in New Jersey was really on those House primaries and local, like you mentioned. Also, the Trump-backed candidates and how they did. What did the results in New Jersey also show you?
So in New Jersey, it was a great night if you were an incumbent Democrat, Republican. A lot of them continue to lock down their seats, make sure that they are going to be running in the November runoffs, at least. And you've got some really competitive races in New Jersey, particularly the Tom Keene, Tom Malinowski race. And you did see Keene, who, son of a former governor, grandson of a congressman. He has, again, hit the Republican primary for that district, which is going to be very good for Republicans come November, thanks to newly redrawn district lines. But at the same point, you saw a couple different narratives playing out with Republicans. You saw some that had gone against Trump and what he wanted to vote for in terms of infrastructure, in terms of January 6th, go ahead and win their primaries. But you also saw others who had voted against what Trump wanted in deep red states like Mississippi have now runoffs in their primary. They had a really strong challenger, and they're going to have to continue to defend defend their right for the Republican nomination. So we're still seeing a bit of a mixed bag here in exactly where Trump's hold is. It seems to be that the redder the area of the country is, the more likely it is that the lawmaker really needs to be in line with what former President Trump wants.
Really interesting stuff. And as more primaries come down the pike, we'll be watching more of those local races because that seems to be where the story is being told. Emily Wilkins, Bloomberg government reporter, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Always a pleasure. We'll be talking with Emily later during Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures down almost 16. Dow futures down 145. Now NASDAQ futures down 29. Much more to come on this Wednesday morning edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. Just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll be talking with Greg Valliere with AGF Investment about what those primary results may be indicating for him for this November. That's still to come. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Live 30 on Wall Street. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with some key primary results from coast to coast. Democratic Representative Karen Bass and billionaire developer Rick Caruso breezed past a large field of rivals looking to be the next mayor of Los Angeles. They are advancing to a runoff election in November. The winner will replace outgoing L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti.
In San Francisco, residents voted to recall progressive district attorney Jayza Boudin. Boudin tried to reform the criminal justice system, but critics accused him of being too soft on crime.
We've made mistakes. We've learned a lot. And I am so unbelievably appreciative.
About 60% of those voting favored ousting Boudin. He'll be replaced by an interim district attorney chosen by Mayor London Breed.
In New Jersey, Amy, in the 2nd District, incumbent Jeff Van Drew won the GOP primary with 86% of the vote. Van Drew will face Democrat Tim Alexander, who got 62%. In the 4th District, incumbent Republican Chris Smith won with 58% of the vote. He'll face Democrat Matthew Jenkins, who ran unopposed. And in the 7th District, Republican Tom Kaine Jr. received 46% of the vote. He will face incumbent Democrat Tom Malinowski, who got 94% of Democratic votes.
In UK politics, Bloomberg News has learned Prime Minister Boris Johnson will go ahead with legislation to override parts of the Brexit deal. That risks inflaming tensions with members of his Conservative Party and the European Union.
All right, let's turn to markets. Amy, futures are lower following back-to-back gains for the S&P 500. In Europe, shares of Credit Suisse are down more than 7%. The Swiss lender expects a loss at the group-wide level and investment bank in the second quarter. Credit Suisse says market conditions have remained challenging after the invasion in Ukraine and monetary tightening around the world.
New uncertainties surrounding the Elon Musk Twitter deal. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us now live with the latest. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Amy. Elon Musk's attempts to get new funding to take Twitter private are now on hold, and it's because of uncertainty surrounding the deal. That's according to Reuters, who reports conversations have halted with private equity firms, including Apollo Global Management, until there's clarity about the future of the acquisition. Now, Musk has been trying to reduce his $33.5 billion cash contribution to the $44 billion deal by preferred equity financing. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 14 points. Dow futures down 136. NASDAQ futures lower by 25 points. 10-year Treasury yield 3.01%. Local headlines and a check of sports next. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. 5:33 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York lawmakers called on the Chelsea Piers Entertainment Center to cancel an upcoming event that includes Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, saying his appearance would be an insult to the city's LGBTQ community. According to an online event schedule, DeSantis, a Republican and potential 2024 presidential candidate, will discuss the Florida model and why it's good for religious Americans on June 12th at the Jewish Leadership Conference. The House Oversight Committee is set to hear testimony today from survivors of mass shootings and the families of victims. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has privately expressed an openness to raising the age limit to buy an assault-style rifle from 18 to 21, but McConnell has not pushed for any specific policy.
It's way too soon to start predicting how many are going to vote for it. We don't have an agreement yet, and so I don't want to speculate about how many of my members might support it.
McConnell has not publicly said where he stands on raising the age requirement. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he expects a vote in the near future.
Democrats are ready to take good, strong action, and every member of this chamber is going to have to answer the question, can we actually get something real done?
Senator Schumer says they need 10 Republicans to vote for approval. Actor Matthew McConaughey is calling for Washington, D.C. to make changes to gun laws. He spoke to White House reporters calling out any legislators who are hedging on change.
Can both sides see beyond the political problem at hand and admit that we have a life preservation problem on our hands?
Matthew McConaughey, a native of Uvalde, Texas, visited his hometown the day after the massacre in an elementary school that left 19 children and two of their teachers dead. Fierce street battles and heavy shelling continued in a strategic Ukrainian city. Meanwhile, Kyiv is asking for more rocket systems from the West. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Amy. Home ice continues to mean a whole lot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Rangers played that series with Carolina where the road team didn't win until Game 7, and now four games into the East Finals of Tampa Bay. Both teams won twice at home. Game 4, early goal for the Lightning's Pat Maroon. Second period, Tampa scored again.
Goodrow the other way, bounces it to the Lightning line. A quick up, Ruda for Palat. Up the middle, Kucherov, maybe a step in front, hold, shoot, score! Sokarov! Kucherov has made it 2-0!
WFLA, Steven Stamkos scored in the third. Late goal for the Rangers, Artemi Panarin on the power play. Rangers had gone 86 minutes without a goal. Andre Palat, an empty netter at the end. Tampa Bay won 4-1, 31 saves for Andre Vasilevsky. Rangers hope the home cooking continues. If they keep winning at the Garden, where they've won 8 in a row, they'll win the series, Game 5 tomorrow. NBA Finals, Game 3 tonight in Boston. Celtics and Warriors tied at 1. Another Yankee win, their 40th, 7th in a row, 10-4 at Minnesota. 3 Yankee home runs, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo, and 2 hits each from the two Yanks who have struggled mightily all season, Aaron Hicks and Joey Gallo. Only 2 hits all night for the Mets. They lost in San Diego 7-0. Padres were up 4-0 by the second inning. Yu Darvish beat Taijuan Walker. Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson getting ready to play in London in the debut of the new LIV Golf Tour. Both will then play the U.S. Open next week near Boston. But Tiger Woods, skipping the U.S. Open, says his body needs time to heal. Tiger hopes to play the British Open next month. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sport. Amy?
All right, thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
PayPal will let users transfer certain cryptocurrencies to other customers, exchanges, and external wallets. The New York Department of Financial Services granted PayPal a BIT license. It governs businesses working with virtual currencies. Hours before the New York legislature ended its session last week, policymakers approved a corporate tax break for chip manufacturers. It has come under scrutiny, though, for potentially costing taxpayers up to $10 billion over 20 years and for passing without a single public hearing or debate. Connecticut's Attorney General William Tong says he'll ask for possible criminal charges against members of the billionaire Sackler family over the marketing of the opioid painkiller OxyContin by their company, Purdue Pharma. The Sacklers agreed back in March to pay several states billions of dollars to resolve opioid lawsuits. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Wins in New York, we're talking about the return of the high school reunion after 2 years of postponements.
I'm Bernie Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Farmers have the bleakest outlook in 2 years on soaring costs.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that high drug costs are the focus of a Federal Trade Commission probe of units at United Health, CVS, and Cigna.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting 17-year-olds in Michigan will be able to attend bar.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
If ever there was a Pyrrhic victory, Boris Johnson's win in the Conservative Party leadership challenge this week must qualify. Although the UK Prime Minister garnered enough support to stay on in his role, more than 40% of Tory MPs told him to go. There's little mystery why. Johnson's government has run up a dismaying catalog of broken promises and bungled initiatives. It has seriously mismanaged Brexit and the response to COVID and left many confused about its economic priorities. The Prime Minister's threadbare authority is now completely shot. His net approval rating stands at minus 45%. A determination to hang on in the face of such disapproval is unlikely to serve the Conservative Party's interests, much less the country's. The Tories' best case for retaining Johnson's services is that, for the moment, they have no obvious successor. Monday's embarrassment suggests that they'd better find one, and fast. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures down 16 and 3 quarters, Dow futures down 155, and NASDAQ futures down 30. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather today, maybe an early shower, otherwise partly to mostly sunny, kind of breezy, going up to 85. We'll see 80 degrees with showers tomorrow, sunshine on Friday going up to 80.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Haggard is risk off this morning with stocks moving lower. Persistent worries about high inflation and slowing growth are gripping the markets. We check the numbers for you every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 14 points. Dow futures down 135. NASDAQ futures are lower by 21 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.3%. The CAC in Paris is down by almost 0.5%. The FTSE 100 lower by 0.25%. The 10-year Treasury is down 9.30 seconds with a yield at 3%, yield on the 2-year 2.74%. NYMEX crude is moving up 1.1% or $1.34 to $120.75 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 70 cents at $18.51.50 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0707 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2539. The yen is at 133.72. MBA mortgage applications at 7 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by wholesale inventories at 10. Campbell's among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now, here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Victims, families, and survivors of the Uvalde and Buffalo mass shootings are in Washington, D.C. today for multiple hearings to call on Congress to act on gun reform. In Iowa, a retired Navy admiral, Democrat Mike Franken, will challenge Republican Senator Chuck Grassley's re-election this fall after winning his party's nomination over two competitors. In the NHL East Final, the Rangers lost to the Lightning 4-1 series, now tied at two games apiece. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Red Sox and the Orioles were winners. The Nationals lost along with the A's and Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios on Bloomberg Daybreak. After yesterday's primaries, we are looking at what these races and their results are telling us about what we can expect in November. Joining us now, Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investment. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure. I got to say, some of the big issues that keep coming up are crime, gun control measures, now abortion rights, and of course, inflation, including high gas prices. I want to know from you, though, if the election were just about inflation, it seems Democrats would be in trouble. But with these other factors, does that make a difference?
Perhaps. And good morning, Amy. I think that once in a great while in the world of politics, there's a message that is so clear, that is a metaphor for what's going on politically, that you can't ignore it. And that happened in San Francisco last night. The fact that a progressive defund the police Democrat got beaten in a landslide sends a chilling message, I think, to a lot of Democrats around the country that they need to go to the center. Going to the left is becoming an albatross for the party.
And in addition, in the race for the mayor of Los Angeles, you had Karen Bass and Rick Caruso. They're both advancing to the November runoff, and you have, you know, one who is a representative, the other who is a billionaire, a businessman. Does that give you any indications?
Not necessarily, and I'd say that for Caruso, he should have won by a majority. Now he's in a runoff where it's just him against Karen Bass, and I think it's going to be a lot tougher for Caruso than it was last night when he had several other candidates diluting the vote total. Caruso has money, and Caruso has, you know, the argument that crime is out of control in L.A., but I think his chances have decreased.
Something we're also noticing is that it's very granular how these results are turning out and what those results might be indicating when it comes to the primary and then perhaps the general election in a couple of years. Are you noticing that as well, that everything boils down to super local, which is kind of unusual?
Absolutely right, Amy. I think that, you know, a lot of these races are based on parochial races, and I tell everybody don't overinterpret these primaries. That's why I think the San Francisco vote is so unique and so important. But if there is a theme, you mentioned at the beginning of our chat, the theme still is inflation. And I think that the average American who's seeing gasoline prices over $6 a gallon wants to extract revenge, and they want to blame somebody. And who's going to get blamed? Well, it's the party in power.
Very briefly, I'm going to shift gears about the January 6th hearings. They're going to be public. They're going to be in prime time. They start tomorrow night. But when people are having a hard time filling up their gas tanks and dealing with those kitchen table issues that we talked about, crime, inflation, gun control measures even, is anybody going to tune in tomorrow?
I think people will. I think that it's probably not going to change a lot of votes. I think that, you know, it's not going to move the needle. As someone who follows politics for a living, I'll be addicted to this. It's going to be fascinating. A lot of speculation about bombshells coming, new evidence being introduced. But I think in terms of the election, again, it's inflation more than anything else. And close behind inflation is urban crime, as we saw last night.
Absolutely. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investment. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It is coming up to 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for our Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we are watching this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A House-passed bill would make more small businesses eligible for expedited and less expensive bankruptcy procedures. The Federal Trade Commission is suing the footwear maker Gravity Defier Medical Technology, accusing the company of deceptively advertising its shoes as helping to relieve pain. Pfizer filed a federal lawsuit alleging that MSN Laboratories' proposed generic versions of Xeljanz would infringe on a Pfizer patent.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now to another legal story we're watching. In a securities filing Monday, Elon Musk said he thinks Twitter is breaching their merger agreement by not meeting his demands for more information about spam and fake accounts. Legal experts widely speculated that Musk is having buyer's remorse. But the problem for Musk is he can't just walk away from the deal by paying a breakup fee. Twitter holds all the cards because their agreement contains a specific performance provision that allows the social media company to force Musk to consummate the deal. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Eric Talley, professor at Columbia Law School.
So let's suppose that Twitter hasn't given all the information because of privacy concerns. Is that enough to be a material breach of Twitter's obligations under this agreement?
No, generally not. So there are two reasons why it's not. First of all, explicitly in the very same section of the contract that Mr. Musk's lawyer has been citing, Twitter retains the right not to hand over information that would be confidential, that might cause it to, you know, breach someone's privacy rights, or that might undermine its future competitive position. And so it's conceivable to me that that's the exact claim they're making. He's not satisfied with it, but it is in fact baked into their contract rights already. Moreover, if these are the types of infirmities that can be cured over time, it also wouldn't get him off the hook from the deal. It would essentially possibly delay the closing of the deal until they could resolve what would and would not be disclosed. But it's not going to be a likely excuse to walk away from the deal. So one of the possible reasons why Musk is trying to be so focal and vocal about this particular issue is possibly he is trying to encourage the very folks that he arranged to lend him money to start getting cold feet about lending him money. Because if they get cold feet and say, sorry, the deal's off, we're not going to lend anymore, that's one of a few scenarios where he would plausibly be able to walk away and be exposed only up to this $1 billion termination fee.
How long does Twitter have to wait before it says, okay, we're going to court to enforce this contract?
Well, in principle, they could file suit anytime they wanted. I think one of the things that you really want to try to balance from Twitter's perspective is to assemble a track record of acting in good faith, moving things along in the direction of trying to close this transaction without yourself getting hot-headed or overly demanding. So the executives at Twitter has no doubt sort of taken this lesson to heart, that they're in a relatively strong position based on the contract. To the extent that, you know, Musk is trying to goad them into a public spat or a spat that causes them to start acting petty and withholding things, that could just put them in breach of this contract. So I think their approach is probably the right one, is to say, navigate this boat as steadily as we can, realizing that we're going to get hit by a tidal wave every once in a while that's got Elon Musk's fingerprints all over it, but keep sailing toward the North Star. And if at some point he does something definitive to walk away from the deal, that's when we will go ahead and file suit.
And that's Eric Talley, professor at Columbia Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures down 14 points now. Dow futures down 138. NASDAQ futures lower by 28 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield at 3%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.74. NYMEX crude up 1.5% or $1.80 to $121.21 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $18.52.10 an ounce. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.